You're listening to a Clare FM podcast. Morning Focus broadcasts weekdays from 9am to 12 midday.
I want to go straight to the RDS and to the BT Young Scientist and Technology Exhibition. Dunica Ralph is on the line. He's a student at St John Bosco Community College in Kildyswood. Good morning to you, Dunica.
Hello.
And thanks very much for joining us this morning. Am I right in saying that you've got a very big judging moment in the next few minutes?
Yeah, I actually do.
I won't keep you for too long, and this will be a lot easier, I promise you. Tell us about your project. We'll give you a warm-up so you're ready when the judges arrive.
Okay, well, basically my project is about does music affect systolic and diastolic blood pressure during and after listening?
Okay, so how do you examine that? What have you done?
Well, basically, the way we examined it was we got 144 subjects and we divided it into three different genres of music. Four different age categories and gender, and we would take their blood pressure, when that was done, we would have them listen to music for 4 minutes and then take their blood pressure after.
Okay, and sum it all up. What were your findings? Does music get the blood flowing?
It absolutely does, and actually, it lowers your blood pressure. We found overall.
Okay, that might be surprising for, I mean, I presume one of the genres you looked at would have been something like rock music or something that's quite fast paced.
Yeah.
Even in those instances, blood pressure fell?
Yep, even rock is really what I found.
And why do you think that is? Why is music having such an effect on the body?
I think it's because, like, the way that our brains interpret music is we listen to it and it sets a trigger in our brain that kind of either pumps us up or like slows us down.
You said that you tried this out, and I think it was 120 people or thereabouts. Was this across the board, universal, most people?
Yeah, it was. We tried to take as many subjects as we could in a different environment.
Sure, but music had an impact on the vast majority of them.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
Very good. And just finally then, Dunica, because again, I know I appreciate your time is tight on this one. Do you see any use for this? I mean, if music is lowering blood pressure, I'm wondering if people on high blood pressure should, well, I don't want them to not listen to talk radio, but I'd like them to look after their health as well, of course. I mean, should we be listening to more music? Is it good for our health?
Well, yeah, it would be good for your health. And like, even if you're just stressed out and your blood pressure's a little bit high, you could just like listen to some music and calm yourself down.
Very good. Best of luck with the judges, and thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
All the very best. Dunica Ralph is a student at St John Bosco Community College in Kildyswood, and we kept that one short because, as I say, he's about to be judged by some of those up at the BT Young Scientist and Technology Exhibition. This is the 55th year of the exhibition. It's also the 30th year in which Mary Immaculate Secondary School in Liston-Varna has been represented. John Sims is a science teacher there. Good morning, John.
Good morning, how are you?
And I'm very well, and thank you very much for joining us. And I suppose congratulations on the milestone.
Yes, it is a milestone, 30 years this year, non-stop. I had no break without a year that I was here over the 30 years.
And I would imagine the vast majority of those years you were bringing more than one project, or your students rather were bringing more than one project with them.
Actually, there was only one year in all that time that we had only one project.
Fabulous.
The rest of the time we could have anything up to 10 projects.
And it is, and maybe it's more so now than before, but it's very competitive. You don't just stick in a form and get to go to the RDS, as we have discussed on the programme already. It's a competitive process to even get this far.
Oh yes, this year we had 12 entries and 5 were accepted. So it's a very, very hard. You're talking about, on average, 1 in 4 projects that would be entered would actually get in. So getting here is, you know, winning in itself.
Is the exhibition changed much?
Well, of course, the technology, like when I started back 30 years ago, all the reports were typed on a typewriter. My poor wife, she got the job of doing that. That's what they were actually typed. And I was just thinking that when we had a questionnaire, you had piles, it wasn't load the data into software and it spits out the answer, but you had piles of questionnaires by question, by answer, lined out on the classroom floors and that. And they were going, counting them manually and working out percentages and that. And even the quality, I mean, if you look at what we print now, we have colour printers, everything is like, we even use SPSS software for analysing data and that, which is what they use in universities. I mean, the students are getting experience with data, with software that they're not used to, that you wouldn't normally get in secondary schools.
Fabulous stuff. It's and that's gearing them up and arming them and preparing them if they wish to go into this down the road, if they want to make something in science their third level option in their career.
Yeah, and a good lot of mine are what they got is in science careers. Just two of them alone that I was talking to in the last day or two. One is just finishing his doctorate in astrophysics at NUI Galway, and the other fellow that is a qualified as a doctor this year, and he's calling in to visit me later. And there was a student already in, she's studying science in Waterford, no, in Carlow IT.
Fabulous.
She called up yesterday to visit us.
Lovely, fair play to them, and that must be lovely for yourself. You've got a couple of this year's students as well. I'll wish them all the best, but we'll speak to those now, John. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Yes.
All the very best. Thanks very much. That's John Sims there. He is a science teacher at Mary Immaculate Secondary School in Lister in Varna. 30 years, as we say, unbroken attendance at the Young Scientist Exhibition from the school. And amongst this year's students from there is Roisin McNamara. Hi, Roisin. How are you?
Hi, good morning.
And thanks very much for joining us on the programme. Before we talk about your project, you were listening there to Mr. Sims talking about the different analysis getting laid out on paper on the classroom floor. I bet you're delighted you've got all those computers to help you now.
Oh, definitely. Like,
tell me, what have you looked at for your project this year?
Well, I was looking at ash trees which had ash dieback in an area in the burn.
Okay. And is it very prevalent up there, ash dieback disease?
Well, it's only a very recent issue. It came in 2012, but you can see a lot of signs of it already. I've got a good few samples now.
And when you say that you can see signs of it, what do you mean? What exactly are you seeing? How have the trees been weakened?
Well, the disease grows from the outside in, so it starts from the leaves. So you'll usually see blackened leaves, and then it goes into the twigs.
Okay, and how prevalent is it in ash trees? A lot of them, I don't know how many ash trees there would actually be in the burn area, but you can tell me all about that. How prevalent is it?
Well, there's more hazel than ash in the burn.
Sure, yeah.
But there's around 91% of ash in every forestation. So there's a lot of ash which is actually getting the disease.
Okay, and what have you looked at in your project? I mean, you've looked at the disease, obviously. Are you just looking to record the presence of ash dieback? Is there more?
Well, I'm looking at the profile of infected trees and non-infected trees, and to see if there's a particular like size or age profile that the disease goes into the tree.
Okay, so in other words, why are some trees not affected?
Exactly.
And what have you found?
I found that the younger ash are more likely to get it.
Okay, interesting. So does that give us hope? Well, I don't know if it does give us hope for the future in terms of the ash trees and ash forestation surviving, but it sounds like important research for anybody who's working in that area.
Definitely, because it could be a very big issue in a couple of years.
Absolutely, absolutely. We like the clash of the ash, of course, in this county, this country. You enjoying the exhibition, the event so far?
Oh yeah, it's really, really good.
Great stuff. We'll look at the very best to look with it. I'll speak with Maeve as well. And Roisin, thanks very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much.
All the very best, Roisin McMahon there. She's a student at Mary Immaculate in Lister in Varna. So too is Maeve McMahon. She's from Kilfenora. How are you getting on, Maeve?
I'm getting on all right. How are you?
I'm very good, and thanks for joining us. You're looking at shellfish?
Yes, I'm using technology software to be able to count and classify different types of shellfish on the seashore.
How does that work exactly?
So basically you're using a software called Fiji, and you're you can like circle the if you circle the pixels,
yeah,
it'll like classify it. So if you say that that's a mussel, then you can save that, and anytime you see a mussel in the future, it'll recognize that as a mussel.
Okay, fair enough. And have you programmed this? Have you made this software?
No, I haven't.
Oh, fair enough. But you're using it and you're adapting it. And don't talk yourself down. but how do you go about this work? I mean, how much work goes into to bringing the project to life?
Well, like, you have to get a lot of practice with it. You know, I wasn't very tech savvy when I first started. But, you know, it's pretty simple to use.
Very good. And is there a practical use to this, do you think?
I think there could be so many uses to it. Because even in the seashore, there's lots of different lights, and it could be wet or it could be dry. And I think that if it can be used for this, then it could be used for lots of different things.
Okay, so if you're looking for other types of shellfish or other certain things that might be found on beaches or anywhere, I suppose, the technology could be adapted by the sounds of it.
Yeah.
Very good. Have you been judged yet?
Yeah, I got two judges.
Two judges. Good or bad experience?
I know, they were lovely.
Good, good. So you can enjoy it now, or are there more to come?
There's more to come.
Oh, fair enough. Oh, well. Look, I hope you really do get to enjoy it, though. And thanks very much for joining us this morning.
Okay, thank you.
All the very best. Take care. All the best.
Bye.
And best luck to everybody as well, because that's only a couple of the students at Mary Immaculate in Inverness who are there. They've got five projects in total. But that's Maeve McMahon from Kilfenora, and we had Roisin before that as well, Roisin McNamara. And teacher John Sims, who a texter says is an amazing teacher, an amazing person who does so much quietly for the school. He taught both my children. No name on the message, but a lovely one, and very happy to share it with the county this morning. We had another texter actually from Inverness earlier as well. That was Paddy Dunn, who's wishing us all a happy new year. Many happy returns to you, Paddy. He's saying that to Clare FM and also to all community volunteers in the county. Paddy's part of Lister Inverna Fáilte, and he was responding to our conversation with regards to Newmarket, and you heard both John Quinlivan and Julian Hansbury talk about how they're looking for funding and how this is very difficult. Paddy says the problem that communities face when applying for funding is the application process and the lack of supportive structures from county councils and at government level. If there was more dedicated community employees within the council designated to each municipal district, it would help greatly. I and Lister Inverna Fáilte have the exact same issues as our fellow community activists who work on a voluntary basis, keeping essential services open for our communities, and we employ 16 people. It is a struggle. That's Paddy Dunn there from Lister Inverna Fáilte.
You're listening to a Clare FM podcast. Morning Focus broadcasts weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 midday.